your TSW Mobile.
For CEF Mobile.
GFW, good morning.
How you doing?
Yep. Happy Friday.
That is only a half of a Friday. I'm going to leave early so we can come home, get all of our stuff packed up.
Left a little early yesterday myself. I had a doctor's checkup appointment.
Been good?
Good so far.
Had an appointment soon. Go back, get blood work done, let them check out my cholesterol and all that good stuff.
In and out. I got there early and they took me back early. You believe that?
That's not the way it works. You go, even if you're early, you wait forever. And then it's just too long for it. But, man, that's good if you got there early and they took you back early.
Getting out of there about the time I was scheduled to go in.
That's pretty awesome right there.
Back for, like, 3 more months, and then we'll get on a regular 6-month schedule.
Keep going. I figure you're going to tell me something bad, but I really need to.
I thought I'd lost a little bit of weight, but I weighed exactly the same, so that's probably a good thing. Virginia tomorrow, right?
Now, we're going all the way up to West Virginia to Winter Place. Sounds like it's supposed to be pretty cool. I've heard a lot of good things about it.
I think what a cold front's coming in, so maybe it will be pretty cool.
Supposed to be 20s and 30s while we're there. I can't remember the high Saturday. And there was, whenever I checked a few days ago, a chance of snow. It was either Saturday night or Sunday morning, so I might be able to see some snow. But I'm ready for us to get some snow here, so I hope I bring some of it back with us at least.
At least throw some in the back of the truck, right?
Bring some back. That's too much. Just one good snow, just done it over with, and then I'll be happy.
The weather's definitely been unusual. I mean, I've seen some birds the other day. But man, it's been almost 2 weeks now that... Man, I shouldn't see them until sometime in March, headed back north, and then over here at work, down in the bottom, I already hear the frogs. So something's definitely up.
Weird year, I guess. But, you know, I mean, most of the time we don't always get snow. My youngest son, he was upset because we hadn't seen snow yet. I told him, you don't understand, we don't normally get much snow. I mean, we might go a year or two and not see any kind of snow. It's really been unusual for us to see snow as early as we have. You know, I told him I was, you know, 30-something years old before I ever saw a white Christmas. I mean, that's been that early and before that.
You're right about that. I know, you know, I've seen a few in my younger days. I only think I've seen one, maybe two, since I've been living here.
The time we've gotten the potential for it, it kind of, you know, it hits that mountain ridge and it just kind of skims the Smoky Mountains going all the way up towards, you know, the northeast.
So usually our best time is like February and March, isn't it?
I'd say so. I mean, I think that's about right. I hadn't really went back and looked when we traditionally have snow, but it's usually later in the season, you know. But if you don't see it usually by the end of February, first of March, yeah, you're not getting it at all. But I think it's usually kind of later in the year. So I was watching some weather reports yesterday. Now you can go on YouTube and see all kinds of weathermen. And one guy was talking about some system coming, and he was going into all kinds of detail about the models and stuff. But when you get that far out, there's no clue what happened.
Out west, like in the California mountains, where it gets like 20 feet, and then you can appreciate it.
Pretty cool.
move up to one of them northern states where you got to shovel your walk every morning before you go to school. And that'd get old.
Yeah, my mom grew up in West Virginia, and so she's seen plenty of snow. So, you know, that was something for her where it was snowing all the time. But, you know, down here it's not that way. And, you know, I can definitely see if you lived in a place like that, it can get old. I mean, down here it's just, it's rare when it does happen, so it's usually not that bad. Or at least I don't mind it that much. A lot of people don't like it still.
Kid and lived up north, we'd wake up and find out that it snowed, and we'd throw our clothes on and grab a shovel and go door to door and, you know, ask people if we could shovel their walk for a couple of dollars. KN4 PFW.
Racket right there is kind of like mowing grass around here. KO4 CEF.
About that.
So what I was hearing yesterday, you know, sometime in the next week, like maybe Tuesday or something, there's a system supposedly moving through. It's like it's going to be down towards Texas. I don't know if Texas is going to get snow or not, but then it's going to kind of sweep east and then kind of head up. But I don't know if we'll actually get any of it or if it'll just be rain.
They coming from the right direction. It just has to be cold enough. Hey, I saw that on the 23rd, I think it's a Monday, they're launching a rocket out of Virginia. You spoke about 6 p.m. and you're supposed to be able to see it from here.
That'd be really neat. I hope I can keep that in mind.
Good opportunity to figure out exactly where that comet is so I could get maybe through my binoculars.
I see that one myself, considering nobody's going to see it again for a long time.
Speculate how long it's going to be.
No, I don't know if somehow they, you know, obviously they know the direction it's moving in. You know, they can figure that out over enough time, but you know, I don't know if the size of it comes into play, you know, where it loops around the sun. I don't know. I don't understand how they do it. I mean, I'm sure it's some very complicated math and computer simulations, but I don't know. It's crazy to think about a 50,000-year orbit.
Melted by then.
Get to a point where we can see it. I can pull the telescopes out, because I think it'd be pretty neat to look at it with the telescope.
You'd be able to see it now with the telescope. You got a better chance of seeing it, I guess, with the naked eye early February. And so it's going to be around for a minute or two. And I believe it's in the northeast, but I don't know if it's in the morning sky or the evening sky.
Fairly early in the morning. Like last time I checked on it, I can't remember the constellation where it was at, but it's slowly supposed to start appearing towards like the, I want to say the Little Dipper, whatever that constellation is. And but it's been probably a week since I've looked at it, so I'm just kind of going off the top of my head, because I was playing around on Stellarium app to try to figure out, you know, when it's going to rise, but it was like really, really early in the morning, if I remember. So, and I think by the time we could see it, it was, the sun was coming up. So hopefully it won't be before too long.
It's by such a constellation, really isn't helping me. It'd be better if you told me I need to look northeast at a 10-degree angle. I'd be better off like that.
My app that I have, it'll pinpoint where it's at, the Stellarium. But I don't know, I guess with this one, I don't know if they hadn't updated it or what. I could probably use a computer one, but I'd definitely like to find it. Hating the VHF contest this weekend?
Something on 6 meters. What time does it start? Probably usually it's about 12, isn't it?
Probably, I'm not 100% certain. I hate I'm going to miss most of it, but at the same time, I'll be having fun. So maybe I can get in a little bit of making some contact Sunday.
The country's on 6 meters. You know, they usually try to do DX when 10 and 6 is open.
beam for 6 meters. DX Engineering sells one. It's only like a two-element beam. And I think it's only like $100-something. I thought about maybe picking that up at some point in time and putting it on my rotator.
For them shortwave radios, I came across one. It was from, like, I don't know, 50 kilohertz all the way to 2 gigahertz or whatever. And it had a little scope on it and everything.
Definitely helped you find the signals. The only downside to the scope is, I mean, they daggum signals out there, it ain't even funny. I mean, every once in a while, I'll get on my 7300 and kind of scroll through the, the shortwave bands. And, man, you'll find all kinds of stuff out there.
So, a little app, you just, you can put in a frequency or a station name, and it'll tell you when it was on, or you could just say, show me what's on right now. And I hit it, and there was a 1,068 shortwave stations on in 300 different languages.
Some out there, I had heard a while back, and I don't know if it's still true, but that, I think his name's Alex Jones or something like that. He used to do, I'm not going to call it news, but, you know, he used to do some kind of commentary stuff. I think he's got a shortwave channel, or at least gets on shortwave, and, you know, he's got his block of time that he's on. I don't know if he still does it anymore, but it's just interesting that people would still use that form for doing stuff like what he does.
Fun to play around with. The only station I've listened to is the one out of Miami that was it WRMI or something like that.
Got my head, and I know there's some there's plenty of religious. There's a couple of those. So you scroll around, you can hear some some church broadcast.
One little radio, or actually it was a little electronic box looking thing, it would decode Morse code and write it out on the screen for you.
A little box. Just depends on how well the person is sending. If they're like me, you're probably not going to decode nothing.
Read the words and hear the tone, maybe you could help to learn it a little better.
So if I try to attempt to do Morse code on the air, I'll have a decoder running in the background, and like I said, depending on how well the other person's sending, it'll pick it up, or at least the letters, and then I can kind of compare that to what I wrote down, and or if I miss a word, it kind of helps piece it together. But yeah, it can. If you get somebody that sends really well, they'll do great. But if you get somebody like me, though, it'll struggle. Because their spacing's not good, or they don't quite add a long enough tone or shorter, it can throw it off a little bit.
They posted last night that on 10 meters there was somebody on CW that was really super fast.
You get these guys that have been doing it so long, and I mean, from then it's just, they're just talking over it. I mean, it's not even sending letters anymore. I mean, they're just sending whole words at a time, and it's just one thing right after the other.
Carrying on a conversation, not a signal report.
I wish there was, I always kind of back and forth, in and out of Morse code. I'll try to learn it for a little bit, and then I'll take a long hiatus from it, and then try to get back into it. I think I've kind of settled in around 5 words a minute, and I don't know if I'll ever get any better, but I'd like to one day. We'll just see when that happens.
Really seriously put my mind to it. I mean, I have a practice gear and everything, and I have a couple of CDs, but now I don't even have a CD player except in the truck.
There's some good apps out there that you can use, but, still, I've done a lot of that, and, I know the letters, but You know, they say just getting on the air and actually practicing it, but, you know, that's kind of intimidating on its own, so. Well, Ken, I am pulled up in the parking lot, so I'm going to walk my tail on in here, and I guess I'm going to try to make it till lunchtime, and then I'm going to head on home and start getting packed up for this trip. So you have a good one. Enjoy your weekend. Maybe you'll make some contacts on 6 meters. We'll see. And maybe when I come back Sunday, we'll see what we can make out and what's still going on in the air. You have a good one. Be safe. And said hope we'll at least talk to you Monday morning. KO4CEF, and I'll be clear on your final.
I hope your day goes smooth and that, and definitely enjoy that weekend and stay safe. Try to catch you, I guess, Monday morning, if not over the weekend. KN4GFW.
73 Andrew, KA3JCA. Good morning, Ken. KN4TFW, KA3JCA.
Good morning, Richard. Good morning, Miss Allie, Miss Ashley. I hope everybody's doing well this morning.
Our dog kind of kept us up and down throughout the night last night, so Sally was up two or three times. And then I'm up an hour late. I was supposed to take medicine at 5, and I didn't.
Needing to go out?
What happens is we used to take him out at 9 or 10 o'clock at night, but because Ashley's schedule has changed a little bit, she takes him out earlier, and she's in bed like 7:30, 8 o'clock like we are. And needless to say, about 3 o'clock in the morning, our dog that sleeps in our room wants to go out.
That from time to time. If I don't let her out at 8 right before we go to bed, then she'll come rolling in there every once in a while. Especially on a Saturday, if I want to sleep in till 5, she'll come in there about 4:30 and say, hey, you've overslept.
Hey, listen, you asked me a question the other day about the cat cable, and that radio that you talked about has a DB9 connector on it that you can connect a cat, and I was talking to Patrick. If, as long as it has that cat controller on it, you can download the firmware or software and put a monitor on it for a waterfall.
I think my cat cable, I know it's got a cable, some kind of computer, over to my tuner.
What you have to do is, I think you can buy an adapter that it does both, if I'm not mistaken, but and also that's how you can update the firmware in your radio through that. So you would have to disconnect it from the tuner. I'm not sure what's going on with my radio here. I think you can buy an adapter that splits that signal up, but because you need that same cat cable or cat port to upgrade the firmware for your radio.
Never done anything to it. I mean, it works fine just like it is. I can't complain at all about that radio.
Yeah, you ought to go to the company's website and just see if you have any firmware additions that you can upload to the radio.
It would get me though. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, you can say if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Probably. I mean, I don't know what version of your software you're running or firmware that you're running on the radio, but most places they will tell you what the upgrades do ahead of time.
It's been discontinued for a while, so I wouldn't have thought that they did too much upgrades to it, right? KN4TFW.
Well, even though it's been discontinued, you know, you could have had an early version that just never got upgraded, and you don't have any of the features. You can still download the software to upgrade the firmware, even though they may not be doing any more additions or modifications to it. That's just like I was reading last night that Windows is putting out, or Microsoft's putting out a security code or security update. It wants to know how many people are using older versions of Office. It apparently doesn't write anything to your computer. It just goes out and pulls what version of Microsoft Office you're using and whether or not it was officially or truly registered. But I guess they're getting ready to take out the old 203, 207, 209, 213s that have already been discontinued. And they're trying to get people, I guess, to sway more toward the Office 365.
I think that's what we had when I was doing a little bit in Excel at home. You know, I mean, I don't know what version we have here at work.
Yeah, I forgot today's Friday, so Patrick's not in here. And, I mean, I was so out cold that I didn't even hear you and Ken carrying, or you and Patrick, or, oh, boy, am I tired. You and Andrew talking this morning until I set up.
To those days, but now that I'm a, you know, I've always been a morning person, so getting up in the morning isn't too bad. And right now, I'm not having any trouble going to sleep, so that's a good thing.
I don't know what it is. I can fall asleep on a dime, it seems like. And then some mornings I'm just up bright-eyed, bushy-tailed, and in a couple days, man, I feel like I've been hit by a truck.
Nights when you thought you slept good, but you really didn't.
I mean, KA3JCA. So, any recent canning projects?
Anything recently? We talked about doing it. I need to do some because my supply is getting a little bit low. Because Susan uses it like for cooking dinner in the evening because it's so convenient. You know, we don't usually store it for a long, long time. You know, for just in case, we just use it for quick suppers. But I've been using I call it a crock pot on steroids, but it's a different version of an Instapot, but it's been working really good.
I had an Instapot, and we gave ours to our mother-in-law, and then I have a crock pot that I like. Well, I had one that I really liked, and we got it knocked off and shattered the lid, and the handle broke on it, and couldn't find any replacement parts for it. So I bought a brand new one just like I had before, but they've changed the front timing sequence and the timer and stuff on it. But I like to throw a chuck roast in there and cook it for like 8 or 9 hours and on slow, and it comes out fork tender, man.
Pretty good. You can put in, you know, raw potatoes and vegetables and everything, and then in less than 10 minutes we're eating.
Because it's a pressure cooker, right, that Instapot?
Put frozen wings in there and throw some barbecue sauce on them, and less than 15, they're all falling off the bone.
You have a different pot, though, that you use to put your canning jars in, correct? You don't put it in a pressure cooker, do you?
It's an older style pressure cooker, pressure canner. You know, where the lid latches down and it's got the gauge and the weight, stuff like that. This Power Cooker XL, it doesn't have, I mean, it's got a lock and lid, but that's about it.
The little relief valve that's on top of that Power XL was a weighted, like 3-pound weight or something that was on there, because it will move if it gets too bad, and then, of course, you can turn it one way and it'll release the steam.
I have it. I know it locks down. I don't know if it auto releases if it over pressurizes. I know we use it to, if you're doing vegetables, you want to release the steam pretty quick so that they don't get all soggy.
That's always been the problem, man. Putting them carrots in there and potatoes at the right time and getting them so they still come out with a little bit of firmness to it, but yet not mushy.
Well, I'm sitting here in the parking lot, so I'm going to have to let you guys go. I hope you guys have a awesome day today, and maybe I can catch you guys again this afternoon. KN4 TSW 73.
73, Ken. KA3JCA.
KO4 HKX Mobile.
today. What's your office day today? KA3JCA.
This is Richard. But I sold the toolbox last night after I got home, so I got to go deliver it today. First, I'm going to go have breakfast with my son, and then I'm going to go do that.
Is that one of those, like, big tool chests that has this on wheels? Has about 13 or 15 drawers?
Yep. That would be it.
I remember, I'm trying to think of what it was. There was a manufacturer that had a tool chest, something like that, but the drawers were had a template or something or a mat that was designed for, I guess, their tools that you, so you know which tools were in the right spot or which tool was missing.
KO4HX. There's been several tool companies that done that. I don't think Matco has ever done it that I know of or remember. But we have what's called the tool grid system now. And it's a set of a polycomposite board that's got holes drilled in it. And you can drop the little pegs and different things, trays and all kinds of stuff in it. And rearrange it custom fit for our toolboxes. So it's a really nice system. But it takes a little while to get it put in and arranged where you want it.
I remember my dad having something, I think it was similar to that, but he bought his own stuff and made his own little design and had one of those, it was like a white paint pan or whatever, and he would take and lay the tools out the way he wanted to it, and then he bought that little white rubberized mat and roll and cut it out for the drawers and stuff like that, and then he'd lay his tools on it the way he wanted and outline them in that paint pen.
Same concept. There's guys that use foam board. We have some tool sets that actually come in black, red, and carbon fiber foam board and then have engraving in them to let you know what size and everything the socket should be there. So there's different ways of doing it. It's just, you know, I don't know that Matco ever done the foam board or anything like that that come pre-done for a whole toolbox.
Excuse me. I didn't know if they had them like, you know, some companies might specialize in cars and some that go up and service, you know, like 18-wheelers and big trucks and stuff. You can get the different size wrenches and so forth. So I didn't know if they sold a, like a template like that that would mount for like foreign cars, domestic, you know, international cars, stuff like that. You just lay a template down in there and then start buying your tools and adding to your inventory. KA3JCA.
No, I don't know of anybody that does that. There may be somebody, but I don't know of them. But I don't sit around and just study tools all day either. So who knows? There's so much stuff out there anymore, it's hard to keep up with.
Yeah, tell me about it. So what kind of handgun do you shoot, or are you going out to shoot rifles? What kind of handgun do you shoot, or are you guys going out to shoot rifles?
Probably a little bit of both. I don't know. I don't know what everybody's bringing. Just different things they want to shoot. Got the ammo to shoot.
I haven't checked lately to see how much ammo is. I used to buy the ammo in those little ammo cans, like 1,000 rounds. There's no telling what it costs nowadays, but Sally and Ashley, they shoot the little Glock 380, and I have a Glock 9mm and a Glock 40. It's a Glock 22 that shoots the 40 Smith & Wesson.
2's the large frame, isn't it?
Correct. Yep, so the 22 is the larger big frame, and then, of course, you have the 43X, I think, is the 9mm, and the 42 is the 380.
Glock 23 Gen 1. That was my first handgun I ever purchased, and I still have it.
9?
No, it's 40 also. The 22 is the big brother to the 23, and then there's one smaller. There was like three different sizes of that gun.
That's right, because I remember the police department I worked for, that's where I purchased mine at, was the bigger one, that the ones the officers carry, and then there's that smaller version for the detectives and undercover.
For the number on it, but the 22 was the one that most police departments used, and then the 23 was just a little bit smaller, I mean like maybe a half inch shorter barrel or something, not much. And then there was another one that was smaller for concealed carry.
Do you have the 15-round magazines? I'm sorry, 15-round magazines?
So it's been so long since I've had that gun out, I don't remember.
Yeah, I have a couple of the regular standard 9, I think it is, 9 or 10, and then, of course, I have a couple of 15 ones. And then I bought the little adapter base for Sally's and Ashley's little 380, because my hand's a little bit bigger, but it'll give them like two more rounds in the magazine.
Like I said, I hadn't had that Glock out. I'm not a big fan of it. I don't like it because of the way they done their double stack in it. I have short fingers, but, you know, big palm, and it's hard for me to get around that gun and get control of it, so I just don't like it.
The one of the new generations, because I'm one of the early generations, too, and that's one of the things, because I did read something yesterday, or it's funny, because last night I was actually looking at some ammunition on Cabela's. But I was talking about how some of the grips have changed because of people's finger sizes, so they no longer put the finger grip kind of in the front, the little pocket or grooves, and then they've changed the design. I used to have a Beretta 92SF that I had that had Packmeyer grips on it, and I loved it, but I ended up selling that. I regret doing that now.
Gun. But the Gen... They're up to Gen 4 on the Glock now, and you can change the back strap on it. It's got different stippling on it. The grip's different. The grip angle is wrong for me. I get slide bite just about every time I shoot it because of the way the dovetail is on it. That's a gun I've just put up and keep because it was my first one, and then that's it. Other than that, I really just not a huge Glock fan.
Well, according to the last night's website, I guess they're up to Gen 5 now because they've changed a lot of the hand grip features to prevent the slide bite and to prevent the finger contour, because people have long fingers, short fingers, thin fingers, fat fingers, you name it. So... But yeah, you're right, the double stack sometimes prevents you from gripping the hand grip just properly or to get a good hold on it.
Now, my favorite gun to shoot is the 1911. I just love the way that gun fits in my hands, and it's easy to shoot for me. So I really like that. And then the... 365. That's been a really good gun for me in the way it fits my hand.
I'm not familiar with either one of those two guns. My friend Brian has a couple of handguns, and I think he might have that one you were talking about. But he got me when I first moved to from Florida to South Carolina. He's the one that encouraged me and Sally and Ashley to go get my CWP. So that's what we went and did.
got my CWP for North Carolina, and it carries over to South Carolina, so nice thing to have. And then I like the little 365. You can get it in several different variations. And it's a double stack, but it's small enough to where I don't have the problem like I did with the Glock. And I think it holds, I think they got a 15 round on it, and it's more along the size of the 380 Glock y'all that Miss Sally and Ashley are shooting.
Yeah. Oh, well, you're starting to get a little scratchy. I'm not where sure you're at, but I'm going to go in here and see where my breakfast is. I actually was telling Ken I actually got up late. I didn't get up till 6 this morning.
You talked to them this morning?
At the time I grabbed the mic, Andrew was already at work getting ready to go in and said 7:30. So I was able to grab the mic and say 7:30 to him and hello to Ken. And Ken and I talked for 2 or 3 minutes there, and then he was at work. So they're already in.
They was. At this time of day, they're usually already at work, unless Andrew's running late. But Ken, he's there. But you and Miss Sally and Ashley have a good day. And I'm sure I'll talk to you on down the log. I'll probably be heading down the mountain between 8 and 8:30, so I'll be back on the radio then. KO4 HKX, and I'll be clear. 7-3 is Richard.
Have a wonderful day, sir. KA3 JCA.